Run! Go! Get to the jibber jabber!
Hey Valerie! It's on Apple Podcasts and Podomatic! Freaking awesome!
Ever wondered how your favourite movies could have turned out had the main characters been played by other actors? Well, today on the Jibber Jabber podcast, we explore what could have been. J-Mac, how are you this evening?
I'm very good, Squire. How is yon?
Very good, mate. Very good. I'm looking forward to what's ahead, and I'm looking forward to this episode.
Yeah. When do we never look forward to an episode? This is the best thing. This is the best thing we both have in life. It's like there's two happiest days in my life. The day I got married, and then a close first is the day we started this podcast.
Let's just forget your child, right? Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. So there's a lot going on. So as always, we are always trying to see what we can bring for our Jibber Jabber community. And that has never stopped. Recently, we got to test the D2 single mic, which is a shotgun mic. And you can check our a review to that on YouTube. It was quite crazy. The microphone was outstanding, mate, outstanding. And the difference between like a Senko D2 compared to anything that we've used at conventions, not in day, brother, not in day. Now, aside from that also, sorry, were you going to say something about that?
No, I was completely agreeing with you. The sound quality that came through on it, unfortunately, I couldn't be there. I had prior commitments, but from the review video that I seen, What a microphone! That's for the price bracket as well.
It's gold plated. It's actually gold plated, right? And it's something called a hypercardioid.
That just sounds like an illness. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that microphone has that illness. Do you know why? Because it's sick.
Oh my God.
You will also see if you follow our social media, which you definitely do follow our social media, don't you? Well, if you don't, you better go do it. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
What happened to Davey.
Yeah, we know what happened to Davey. You'll hear about him. So if you guys follow us on social media, which, by the way, all of you don't, you listen to the show, yet not all of you follow us on social media. So go and hit that subscribe, follow, like button. We've announced that we will be doing a couple episodes of It, which is basically we are doing a series of episodes where we talk about the original miniseries in great detail. I have a conversation coming up very soon with Brandon Crane, who played the wee dude in It. What's his name?
Ben.
Sorry, I better work on that, right?
yeah. You can edit that, but.
No, it's fine. I'm keeping this rolling. Yes.
He played young Bennifer.
That's right. Who then goes up to be the handsome chap, right? So I'm gonna have him on the show and I'm looking forward to that. And you also, J-Mac, tell the audience who you'll be interviewing.
Yeah, when we were down in Manchester, I met a guy called John Campopiano, who he's actually in post-production right now on a documentary about the making of It. It's called Pennywise, the Story of It. You might have seen it in the footage that we did for the Love of Horror. So we did speak briefly about it, but we're going to go into that in a lot more detail. He has also already released a documentary on the making of Pet Sematary, which was really good. It was a cracking documentary. And do you know the thing that I found the most interesting about it is normally when you see a horror film documentary, it's always about, it's like, oh, the problems we had shooting this. Oh, it was such a nightmare. 16 people died making The Exorcist. And this one was just like, no, it was great. Everything was just great fun. And it was nice to see that on a horror film, especially when you've got kids involved. And the way the kids were treated on set and stuff, it was nice to see how they actually kind of deal with having children on a horror movie set. It was a really good documentary, and I'm highly looking forward to speaking to him on Sunday about It.
So tell the audience again what that original Pet Sematary documentary is called.
It was called Unearthed and Untold, The Making of Pet Sematary. The Road to Pet Sematary, sorry.
Yeah, make sure you guys go and check that out, so you're familiar with John's work.
Yeah, I actually watched it on Shudder the other night. You've all heard of the horror movie streaming site Shudder. It's mm-hmm. part of Amazon Prime. So you go to Amazon Prime and you can sign up for your 1 month free trial, I think. And after that, it's $4.99 a month for a massive bank of horror movies. And that's where I watched it. So, excuse me, John was nice enough to tell me where I could find it.
Well, what more can you ask for, eh?
Yeah, like I said, very much looking forward to speaking to him.
Absolutely. So that'll be coming up very soon if you stay with us, guys. So make sure you hit the subscribe button. As always, we would like you to head to Truffle Shuffle. But this week, I'm not going to go ahead and tell you why you should go to Truffle Shuffle. Because we have an ad. We have an ad that'll do that just right now.
Oh my god.
Say, what's up, son?
Oh, all I wanted was a Never-Ending Story t-shirt, but Santa didn't bring me one.
Well, Santa Claus didn't go to truffleshuffle.com last year and use JibJab15 when he spent over £20 or more on truffleshuffle.com like you should.
That's right, 15% off when you use JibJab15. Exclusive code to the Jibber Jabber podcast. Go now. They have trinkets, t-shirts, mugs, and so much more. Everything you could want, from 80s retro threads to Game Boy console watches. JibJab15 at truffleshuffle.com. Go now!
Yay, Truffle Shuffle.
And we hope you enjoyed that. That there was myself and my wee son, Lucas, basically repping for Truffle Shuffle. So make sure you definitely go and you check out Truffle Shuffle and do exactly what it says in the ad. So, J-Mac, we're going to talk a little bit now about the idea that the movies that we've all grown to love, that we've grown up with, and the stars that played the main star, you know, the star of the show, being played by people that maybe were recommended for the movie, had turned down the role, or even was rumoured. I think it's going to be a really cool, you know, a cool concept for us to discuss. So we'll just jump right into that. So the first one that everybody always thinks about when you think, oh, what could have been, comes from the original Terminator movie. So it's no lie and no secret that O.J. Simpson was first actually, you know, that was the idea for the Terminator, for the T-800. So do you know much about that? Have you heard much about it?
I don't know a lot of the details about it. I know that he was kind of considered for it, and the reason that they didn't go with him eventually was because they didn't think he seemed like enough of a killer.
Well, from what from the research I've done, well, that's actually quite funny, that, right?
Yeah, thanks.
So I don't even know where I was there. Yeah, the research I've done, actually, you know, James Cameron had that in mind, that O.J. Simpson, all the original artwork, the concept art for the character of the T-800 was all done by an artist, but it was made to look like O.J. Simpson. So Arnold Schwarzenegger wanted to play the part of Kyle Reese in Terminator 1, in the original Terminator. And when he was out for lunch with James Cameron, he was talking about, Arnie talked more about the Terminator character than he did about playing Kyle Reese. And then when James Cameron was like, yo, Arnie, you should definitely play the Terminator, Arnie was like, yeah, no way. The Terminator has 20 lines. I want to go forward in my career, not backwards.
Yeah, because he'd already done Conan by that time. So he'd already had like a pretty big hit on his hands.
Mm. Yeah. That and what's that, Hercules in New York?
Fan chariot!
But where are your horses?
Right, you do yours, then I'll do mine.
Okay.
Fan chariot! But where are your horses?
Fan chariot! But where's the horses?
Just sounds straight out of your desk.
Mate, right, here's a wee story about that. I actually come across, you know, in a wee thrift store. I actually came
thrift
across
store. A thrift store. What the fuck is a thrift store? It's a charity shop.
It's for the Americans. They're there. So in a store, I saw a box set for £3, and it's got like 9 movies in it, and Hercules in New York is one of them. But I can't bring myself to buy it because I didn't want to by all the other movies.
Have you ever seen it?
Not fully, but I want to watch it. I just don't want to pay for that box set because I don't want all the other movies that come with it.
Dude, it is literally one of the worst films ever made. It's horrific. But the thing is, the version that I seen was a dubbed version. So I don't know if you know this about it, but obviously back in the late 60s, they were very concerned that Americans at the time would not understand Schwarzenegger's accent, so they dubbed him.
Wow.
With like a typical dubbed voice guy.
So, hi, fine, Chariot, but where are your horses?
That's literally what it's like. It's horrendous. It's worse than his real accent in it. Wow. It's so bad. It's so, so bad. And there's a bit where he's fighting a bear. And this bear, honestly, man, it looks like... It's clearly just a guy dressed up as a bear. But, pardon me, do you remember that advert for tuna? That came out years ago.
Yeah.
And the guy who fights the bear. It was like that, but with a really bad bear suit.
Wow.
It's horrific. Honestly, after that film, they could have sent him on a flight home.
Well, they didn't. He went to play Terminator instead of O.J. Simpson. So I mean, one of the things that James Cameron said was that Arnold Schwarzenegger's accent was so strong that he sounded like a machine, and that the Terminator wouldn't have been as successful as it was had Arnold Schwarzenegger not sounded like a machine and obviously looked more menacing than O.J. Simpson. So But what we should do is kind of explore what O.J. Simpson would have been like as a Terminator. How do you think that would have gone down?
See, to be honest, we're never going to know. He could have absolutely nailed it. The only reason we think nobody else could have done it is because we only ever seen Schwarzenegger in the role.
Yeah.
But what you're saying about him sounding like a machine, that is where he won it. And that accent is something that nobody else in the movie world had. So that was the one thing that distinguished him as a machine from the rest of the human characters, really. O.J. Simpson, plus also, Schwarzenegger had like the ideas about the Terminator not having to aim the gun properly because he would just know where to put the what do you call it, the nozzle? What do you call the end of a gun? The barrel.
The
nozzle. Fuck me.
The nozzle. Hold on, Squire. Find nozzle, but where are your gun?
So he would be able to shoot without aiming and stuff like that. And that was all ideas that came from Schwarzenegger. Whether OJ would come up with the same things, I don't know. I mean, the guy at the end of the day was a football player. I don't know if he'd done much in the way of acting at that time.
Well, it was in the Naked Gun trilogy.
Not by that time. The Naked Gun was after that.
Was that all right?
Way after. I think the first Naked Gun maybe came out in 1989 or 1990, something like that.
Great trilogy.
It's so funny. The funny thing is, I don't want to digress too much about the Naked Gun, but every one of those films is like a 15 or at least a 12.
Uh-huh.
But the humor is so appealing to children, and that's the funny thing about it. But there's some films we could maybe revisit at some point.
Would love that.
Anyway, with regards to OJ, honestly, man, I don't see how it would have been a problem. But Schwarzenegger is the Terminator, and that's just the way the universe is.
Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine Terminator not being played by Arnie. Even now, the T-800, you know, you've never seen another T-800 bar Arnie, which makes sense, obviously, because it was molded after Arnie's skin, which you saw in a deleted scene in Terminator 3. Did you see that deleted scene?
With how they came up with the voice, or
why he looks
the way he is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because of Staff Sergeant William Kearney. That was ridiculous, mate. They took that scene out of Terminator 3 because it was ridiculous. Out of Terminator 3.
Wait, Terminator 3 isn't as bad as everybody gives it. Behind me, in my cape here, you can see obviously a Terminator poster for those of you that obviously can't see, which is everybody bar J Mac. I have the Terminator picture on my wall, and I have the Terminator 2. I do not have the Terminator 3, but you know, it's only because Edward Scissorhands made the cut. But Terminator 3 does belong up there, and I will fight it.
There's actually one really good moment in Terminator 3, and I never thought I'd tell you there was a good moment, but
let's hear it.
The end credits.
Fuck off. Do you know what I say to that?
Talk to the hand.
you make my point for me.
Don't even, mate, before we go back and erase you from all the previous Jibber Jabber episodes and replace you with Michael J. Fox, which brings me to my next point.
Oh, okay.
Eric Stoltz.
Yes, Eric Stoltz.
There exists somewhere a full Back to the Future movie where Eric Stoltz is Marty McFly.
It's not quite a full movie. I think they filmed for 6 weeks, but it was a good chunk of it. It was a lot of filming with Eric Stoltz. Could you imagine having to turn around at that point and say, we made the wrong decision?
Well, that's, for those of you that don't know, we got to film Christopher Lloyd, and good friend Todd actually got to ask him a question as well. But we heard it from Christopher Lloyd himself that they had to pull everybody into a room, all the cast, the crew, the actors, the production, and they literally sacked Eric Stoltz and said, right, he's gone, and here's the new kid. Marty McFly will now be played by, you know, Michael J. Fox, which he said for him, you know, was very sad. He said for everybody, it was quite heartbreaking because they'd all got to know Eric, and it almost felt that way that a family kind of feels. When, you know, what you always hear everybody say when a movie production is really good and everybody really gels well together, they say it's like a little family. You know, and you see that as well when we went to a Lost Boys reunion. You just see that instantly. You know, they've not seen each other in like 30 years, but the minute they hang out for the first time, it's like no time has passed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think absolutely. They had that with Eric, and then they go ahead and put Marty. So let's explore for a second. No, Marty. You see, he actually is Marty McFly, right?
Exactly.
And that's exactly what it is.
I remember, like, growing up, and I'd be watching, I'd walk in, my dad was watching Rambo, and I'd go, oh, that's Rocky. It's like, no, it's Sylvester Stallone. I'm like, who? you know? But the major caveat to that is the fact that they always wanted Michael J. Fox for Back to the Future, but they couldn't get him because of the scheduling conflict with family ties. That's the reason that they couldn't get Michael J. Fox in the first place. So they went with Eric Stoltz. Now, Eric Stoltz is a fine actor. He's an excellent actor, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about how much of an impact he made in Pulp Fiction. He's only in it for about 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah,
he's amazing. And also, the one other thing I remember him from, where I was like, oh god, he's horrible. Not a horrible actor, but you hated him. And it was the butterfly effect.
I was about to say that.
The pedophile. That, and you knew it right away. Yeah. You knew right away, like, that he was going to be a pedo.
He's and just had that aroma.
I don't know if it's because his hair looked just like mine. But no, it's not going quite. But you know, he had that kind of that side parting that kind of came halfway down his forehead, and he was extra nice to the kids, you know, that guy, you know. Then the parents go away, and he's like, right, I'm just going to get pushed and film my porno. Oh, it's horrible. It still gives me the creeps.
Oh, it is. Well done, Eric.
Good job, son.
what a fine actor. But yeah, could you imagine? You know, I don't think it's much of a... They said that the chemistry wasn't there. And with Michael J. Fox, the chemistry was definitely there, they say. You know, Christopher Lloyd even said that when we were filming him. He said that the chemistry between him and Michael J. Fox was there. And it was more natural, and it felt just right. And everybody felt that way about Michael J. Fox, which makes sense. So obviously we'll never have to wonder too hard what Marty McFly could have been like. Yeah. But what could it have been like, you know, as Eric?
Well, like you said about the chemistry of it. I mean, if you look at the film like the DeLorean, okay? So just imagine Back to the Future as the DeLorean. Michael J. Fox is the flux capacitor.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, there's no film.
Yeah.
I think, although Eric Stoltz was a fine actor, and he was, even if you look at the footage that's out there, there's no audio to it, but you can tell the boy can act. He just didn't have the comic timing. He was too serious, and that film needed a bit of kind of levity to take away from the craziness of the science behind it. If that film was filmed with no comedy, there's no way that it would still be in the limelight today. It would be one of these cult films that was very clever and well executed, but I think the humour is what's kind of let it stand the test of the time.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So that's a good way to put a fine point on that one. So moving on, were you aware that originally it has only ever been rumoured,
but they said originally, right, that Tom Cruise was going to be playing Iron Man.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nah, I don't see too much wrong with that.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that. This was when they were looking at...
For everybody at home, Jordan has a man crush on Tom Cruise.
Not doing.
Yes,
you talking
do.
About?
Yes,
oh, stop do. It. Stop it. Back.
Jack and Tom.
That's one of them. How many man crushes are you allowed before you're just gay?
zero. So
I'm at three at this point. Genuinely, man, I'm at three. So I'm starting to get a bit kind of concerned that maybe I've been living a lie. we'll find out. But
maybe
Tom Cruise as Tony Stark. I mean, Tony Stark is always going to be Robert Downey Jr. That's just. But the thing is, the clever thing about that is that it was just Robert Downey Jr. pretty much playing himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is like that. Is that kind of, or he could be like that. Tom Cruise is a different animal. This was in the 90s when they were talking about doing these films. When, to be honest, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the Marvel films. I think
you pretty much hate them.
No. That's not true. They've just made too many of them. I enjoyed them for a long time, and then they just made too many of them. Then they started putting 40 superheroes on the screen at the one time, and it just got too much to fucking deal with. It's like, nah, I've had enough. My dad said the same thing about the comics. He used to read comics when he was young, and then he stopped reading it when they started introducing far too many superheroes, because it just got up its own arse, and that's why I don't like Marvel. Now, the fact that Tom Cruise was in the line to play Iron Man, I could definitely see it. The problem was that if they'd made those movies at that time, they just wouldn't look nearly as good as they look now. They're so polished and so beautiful to watch. I can't deny that. There's no way I can deny that those are gorgeous. But at the end of the day, to me, they're just 2-3 hour cartoons. But very, very pretty cartoons. And I think to try and do it in the 90s, they weren't quite there yet.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the case. With regards to Tom Cruise, he never confirmed nor denied that he was ever approached for Iron Man. But it's one of those old urban legends where you just never know. Something we do know, though, right, moving on, is that apparently Sean Connery turned down the role of Gandalf for Lord of the Rings.
Did he?
He did. And do you know how much they offered Sean Connery to play Gandalf in the original Lord of the Rings trilogy?
How much?
$450 million.
To pay one actor?
Mm-hmm. For the trilogy.
Fuck me.
Yeah, dude, there was big money on that project. Big money. And I think it's made its weight in gold. Since it's been, and do you want to know the reason? Sean Connery says no. Do you want to know the reason?
Was it because he couldn't say, "You shall not pass"?
It was.
I may pass right in the toilet.
No, it's something a bit more simple. Do you want to know why?
Yeah, sure.
He said, "'Cause I didn't bloody understand the script." He's like, a script didn't make sense.
Well, if there's one thing that Sean Connery is known for, it's his fucking honesty. Sometimes a woman just needs a slap.
That that's true. Yeah.
Remember, it's not a closed fist; that's an open hand.
It's like when a woman argues, she gets hysterical. She goes off point. Sometimes just an open hand smack is all they need.
He was just an average content viewer.
What can I say about Davey? He really didn't like to subscribe too much, you know?
He was a nice young boy. It's a shame about what happened to him, you know?
Until one tragic evening.
Put it this way, David would... He would, neglect the subscribe here buttons.
Yes, it was a quiet town until that tragic evening. Nothing like that ever happened round here.
We have it on great authority that young David was mutilated by a pamphlet containing the words subscribe here. It is not known exactly where this pamphlet came from at this present time, but police are looking into it.
Don't be like David. Subscribe to the Jibber Jabber podcast and avoid death.
I mean, well, as I can't, somebody, right? And he didn't subscribe to the Jibber Jabber podcast. And a chopstick fell in his eye.
Subscribe to the Jibber Jabber podcast now.
I mean, you need to go and subscribe, like, because it's a curse, and if you didn't subscribe, it kills you.
Disclaimer, curse does not exist or kill you.
Did you see that clip I sent you earlier on? Do you know what that film was? With Wesley Snipes?
All right, for anybody that doesn't know, there was a movie with Wesley Snipes in it, and the man just slaps a woman.
No, he didn't slap her. Right, what happens in this film's called, this is a very quick digression, but the film's called Drop Zone, and it's basically a thriller that centres around skydiving. Uh-huh. Okay, right, for the second time, they did it in the very early 90s with Point Break. But this is a kind of lesser version of Point Break. It's not as good, but it's still entertaining. But what happens is, somehow, Wesley Snipes ends up going up with these skydivers, and then he decides that he's not going to do it. He doesn't want to do the skydive. Mm-hmm. So they just drop him out of the plane. Like, they pull open a hatch, and he just falls right through the hatch, right? So then the woman dives out after him. He's not got a parachute. So the woman dives out after him, catches him, gets him safely down to the ground, and she's like, see, it wasn't that bad, you made it to the ground, and he just full on hooks her in the fucking jaw. It's like, this was 1994, and apparently back then it was still funny to batter a woman.
not that that's what we endorse, no, of course,
dude,
not.
When I watched it, I was like, whoa. What the hell? Just, and it had that proper like 90s punch sound effect. It was not supposed to be a slap. It was push. It knocks her flat on her back into the sea.
So for anybody that doesn't know, go and watch Drop Zone.
It's good fun. And Gary Busey, who is endlessly entertaining. I don't care what anybody says. I love Gary Busey.
He's not the worst. So Sean Connery says that he doesn't want to play Gandalf because he just doesn't understand the script. Doesn't make sense. It needs a good open hand slap.
450 million, mate. I'd learn to understand a script that made no sense for 450 million.
The thing is, when he turned it down, how old was he by that point?
Well, this was 2001, roughly. So he was
definitely old. He was old.
Yeah, you can guarantee. Well, it probably would have been at least maybe 1999, 2000 that they approached him about it. Mm-hmm. So Sean Connery, his date of birth is the 25th of August 1930. So he was already 70.
Wow.
And he'd already made more money than a lot of actors. The guy's been around for so long. Did he really have to do it? Probably not. So why bother giving himself the stress of trying to understand the script and work out the character when somebody like Ian McKellen could so easily, might I add, so easily step into the shoes?
Well, that's what they always say. They always say that the right actor will always find the role.
That's right.
It's not always the case, though, but yeah, it is right. Most times they do. Before we move on to our next selection, there was an interview, and you guys should Google it. It's basically Sean Connery, and he's attending some sort of Scottish awards, because obviously he's a Scotsman, right? and someone interviews him. Someone like us has a little microphone. Up it goes to the guys, to Sean Connery's mouth, and he's like, "Hi, Sean Connery. I just want to ask. You know, you're here at the Pride of Scottish Awards, but yet you've been living in Canada for like the last 20 years.
Well, here, boy, I was working my ass off when you were not even off your mum's boob. Don't get cheeky with me."
And then the guy's like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean any offence. I mean, are you having a good day?
Well, I was, till I started speaking to you.
And he walks away.
I've seen that. It's funny.
Well, I was, until I started speaking to you.
Mate, Sean Connery, what a treasure.
Could you imagine anything more uncomfortable than pissing off a celebrity that you're asking a question to?
Especially Sean Connery.
Or Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Before we go to our next selection, J-Mac, tell the story of how you thought you'd pissed off Lou Ferrigno.
Basically, I asked him a question at a convention. It was at the press conference beforehand, and he caught me off guard with a statement that I wasn't expecting. It was something I didn't know, and I just felt my arse collapse in on itself. And do you know what brought me back to the fray? It was Mr. Wells.
So what happened was...
Kevin just looked at me and went, "Say fucking yes."
What had happened is Lou Ferrigno is a little hard of hearing, for everybody that doesn't know this. Lou actually was born like half deaf or something like that, right? We have another story about that. It's quite funny, but we'll tell it at a later date. Lou Ferrigno actually is quite hard of hearing. So a lot of this stuff, it doesn't always pick it up, I would say, right? So you had basically asked him a question about how he'd adapted to not, you know, bodybuilding at the championship level. And he basically...
"You know I went back, right?"
That's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
"You know I went back, right?"
No, it's more like this. It's you know I went back to it, right?
Yeah. So he thought that Jordan was referring to the earlier stage of when he first retired. But what Jordan was actually talking about is where he's at in life now, where he's clearly not still bodybuilding.
No. It is, but not competitively.
Right, that was right. Exactly the point. But the way that Lou had kind of asked Jordan,
"You know I went back, right?"
And I look at him, the death stare, man. And just at that point, Jordan was like a rabbit caught in a headlights. And I went, "Say yes." And he went, "Yeah."
Dude, that's what it was like, man. I think basically it was a miscommunication, but then I didn't know how to handle it. And Kev just looked at me, he was like, "Say fucking yes." And I was like, "Yes." And then he was fine after that. And see, when you actually watch the video back, that death stare that I thought was for about 20 minutes was only about a second.
Yeah.
But that's how much it fucked my head. I genuinely thought that he was staring into my soul and breaking it down into bits to distribute between each circle of hell.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, it meant so much to you because you're such a huge fan. He's such a role model to what your childhood is. And that's exactly why you felt like that. But, you know, at the end of it, you got like shook his hand.
Yeah, I felt like I let myself down.
You didn't.
I know, but you didn't help the situation afterwards by like, "Mate, he death stared you. You fucked up.
You were going to get a Hulk smash, mate." You fucked up.
It's like, "Mate, Lou Ferrigno hates you. You said that to me."
I know. How does it feel to be hated by Lou Ferrigno? Nah, the thing is, man, he was actually a pure gent. He was so nice, and he shook your hand afterwards. I was just playing around with you when I was saying that he hated you and death stared you and wanted to punk Hulk smash your soul, but that's what I'm there for, right? Comic relief.
Wasn't it comic to me, Sunshine?
No, that's how it works. It's my own comic relief.
Yeah, you just need to entertain yourself.
Yes, as always. Oh, so moving on, right? So it was also said, and this isn't even a rumour, this was actually commented on by Russell Crowe himself, But Russell Crowe was approached to play Wolverine before Hugh Jackman, before Big Shug Jackman. And do you want to know the reason he turned it down?
Why?
Because the character of Wolverine, Logan, was too similar to the character of Maximus Aurelius from Gladiator. And he didn't want the two characters to be similar. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Maximus wasn't made of metal and have, you know, claws coming out of his fists.
No.
I mean, the hair I can see.
I'm kind of struggling to see the similarities, to be honest. I don't know. Do you know what? It might have been something as simple as he'd just done a big action epic and didn't want to do another one.
Yeah,
that would make sense, because if you look at what he'd done around that time, things like A Beautiful Mind and stuff like that, just dramatic films. And by the way, A Beautiful Mind is one of the best films ever made. If you've never seen A Beautiful Mind, wow. I think that's probably got what the fact that the characters were too similar, it's probably because he just didn't want to get typecast. But you can't say that when you get interviewed. You can't say, I don't want to be typecast. You have to dance around it a little bit, and I think that's probably what he was doing there, because you tell me, other than the fact that there's metal involved, he wears metal outside, there's no other real kind of similarities to it. I'm not as big a comic book guy as a lot of people, so maybe there are more similarities than I realise, but I honestly can't think of any.
No, it makes sense. I think you put a complete fine point on it there when you say that's probably the nice way of them saying, I don't want to get typecast without saying it. Just like when I assume that a celebrity gives me, you know, steviewonder@gmail.com, I assume that's their way of saying, thanks, but no thanks, you're not getting my details. Here's steviewonder@gmail.com. Until such time Stevie Wonder gets his assistant, because he's blind, to send me an email from steviewonder@gmail.com. And I'm like, well, would you fucking look at that? Like, that's the bizarre. So, yeah, could you imagine a Wolverine played by Russell Crowe?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you want a honest answer on it, I don't see why not. Especially at that time. I mean, like, he had just done Gladiator, so he was in peak physical condition. He's kind of disgruntled and grizzled enough to give off the angry persona that's required for Wolverine. I can't see him not being able to do it. But this is the thing with these people, is it's like, just because somebody else got chosen doesn't mean that somebody else couldn't have done it. And this is where there's a bit of a theme going on, because like Arnold Schwarzenegger as a Terminator, OG maybe could have done it. And there's going to be so many more that we're going to talk about. That they'll have a similar thing. It's like, nah, he could never have done that. But the chances are they probably could have. Yeah. And you probably would have enjoyed it just as much. But because it's in your mind that this is who this person is, you just can't picture it. But you need to have a bit of a more kind of open mind on it. And I don't see any reason why Russell Crowe couldn't have played the Wolverine. What I would say is that I don't think there would have been as many movies with him as the Wolverine. And that's where the difference is. Hugh Jackman was committed to doing it for so many years. But the problem is Russell Crowe, bit of a wild card.
Yeah, another thing though,
he could turn around at any point and say, fuck off, I'm not doing it anymore.
Have you ever seen Russell Crowe in as good shape as what you've seen Hugh Jackman?
What, Hugh Jackman?
Hugh Jackman, right? Here's another, have you ever seen Russell Crowe in like mega great, crazy good shape?
He was in really good shape in Gladiator, he was in really good shape in Cinderella Man, but it wasn't ripped, he was always strong, muscular.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was more like, do you know what, he's more like a classic actor's version of in good shape, not the muscle. Like, if you look at,
you mean like a vaudevillian?
Well, mate, if you look at Hugh Jackman as Wolverine in The Wolverine, his physique in that is it's like this Stallone-ish when Stallone did like Rocky IV. He's in such good physical shape. His body fat must have been like 5%, if that. But Russell Crowe always just looked like a normal guy that you would not argue with, and I think that's always been his strength.
Just don't tell him he's got an Irish accent when he's in the Robin Hood movie.
Do you know what? I seen the Robin Hood movie in the cinema, and I cannot remember a single thing about it.
I remember about the Robin Hood movie is that it was really good, and they said there'd be a part two, and there never was a part two. Like, I was waiting on that. Dude, the Robin Hood movie was actually really, really good. I really enjoyed it, and I'm really sad that they never made a second part. Like, it says, to be continued, and then they never made part two. Sad about it.
Well, they obviously never got the reception they were expecting from it. You can't be too presumptuous. You can't be too presumptuous. And like thinking that you know the film's going to be such a success that you're going to get a sequel. If you're making the first film in a series of films that you might have planned, you can't put on the first one to be continued. It's very, very risky. Now, it got away with it recently because they only told one half of the story. And at chapter one, so there was always going to have to be a sequel regardless. So even if at chapter one flopped, they would still have probably made at chapter two, because that would complete the story. And then what you might find would happen is that then people would revisit at chapter one to put the whole story together. That's a different thing. With Robin Hood, the story was told. Anything that was in the to be continued was just fabricated after that.
I just think I would have been really happy. I mean, it's just one guy, right? But I would have been happy if they made a second part. Just like what Jason David Frank had said to us when we filmed him in Edinburgh. Basically said that they should always focus on the first movie. Stop planning three movies ahead. Focus your energies and your attention to the first movie. Make sure that that's got everything it needs to succeed. And then worry about the rest after. And that's what he was... And that was, again, him talking about the Power Rangers. Another avenue, which I'm very sad that they'll not be continuing the recent one that they made. But hey, life goes on, right? So now that we got Russell Crowe out of the way, right, as a possible Wolverine, were you aware that James Cameron was actually, he was asked to make Spider-Man originally? You know, the Tobey Maguire stuff that was by Sam Raimi?
Yeah.
Right, so originally James Cameron was the one that was going to be making the Spider-Man movies, and what he saw was Edward Furlong as Peter Parker, and he was going to be, you know, co-starring with Leonardo DiCaprio as Harry Osborn. Now
that sounds fucking brilliant.
Think about that, right? Can you imagine Furlong had he played Peter Parker? Maybe he'd be in a different position right now. At least in his acting career.
100%. That's
he could have pulled off. He could have pulled off.
You know, this is the first time you've said something in this whole episode that I've been like, wow, that would actually possibly have been better.
Thanks. Oh, I don't know. I really love Sam Raimi's trilogy. Third one was all right. Like Terminator 3, it kind of gets slammed, but it wasn't as bad as everybody says. But I loved the first one, the very first Spider-Man with Sam Raimi and Tobey Maguire, obviously, and James Franco. I don't know, but it holds a special place in my heart. Like, there's a picture on my wall. If there's a picture of a movie on my wall, it means it's my wall of Rushmore, my Mount Rushmore. If that picture's up there, it means I love the movie, and that's up there, the very first one. Second one was all right. Third one, it was all right. First one really does it for me. And
the second one was the best out of that trilogy.
Nah.
It was.
Dr. Octavius, nah. Well, that's just my opinion. But how could have that gone? First off, a lot of people, when I was reading about it, said that DiCaprio should never, at that point in his career, have been playing a second fiddle to anybody, least of all Edward Furlong. What do you think about that?
I can understand the sentiment of it, but at the end of the day, how many excellent actors that have had many leading roles have subsequently won Oscars for Best Supporting Actor?
Yeah.
Just because you're not the main character in the film doesn't mean you can't steal that film from underneath the top bill.
That's
exactly where the Best Supporting Actor thing comes in. Like, honestly, I think sometimes the only difference between the Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor is actually arbitrary. Because the only reason that you get a Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor is because there has to be two separate for one film. If you could say Best Actors and have the two best for each film, it'd be a different story. But the fact that, I mean, like, somebody that's got a best supporting actor, my mind's gone blank. This is Joe Pesci. Look at Joe Pesci. He got a best supporting actor award for Goodfellas.
And no wonder.
Mate, he was better than anybody in that film. Bar possibly De Niro, who I don't even think was nominated for that film.
Mate, De Niro just kind of sits back in that movie.
He was excellent in that film.
I think so.
Watch it again.
I'm thinking about what's Ray the
Liotta,
other one?
Is it Casino? Ray
Liotta. No, I'm thinking of Casino. In Casino, he kind of just sits back. Yeah, Goodfellas, he's good.
Joe Pesci is an absolute powerhouse. And I think that just because you're awarded for best supporting actor doesn't mean you weren't the best thing in the film.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So it would have been cool to have seen Edward Furlong as Peter Parker. Can you imagine that? Because by this point, he would have got rid of that wee squeaky "Come on!" voice, and he'd be older than what Spider-Man was in the comics at the time, but he'd be at the same kind of age as what Tobey Maguire was when he played Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. That would have been cool, and I think, you know, teen Edward Furlong, which he was in the Crow, Wicked Prayer. He played obviously the Crow character. I think he could have pulled it off. It would have been pretty cool to have seen Edward Furlong as Spider-Man. But I'll never shit on Tobey Maguire because I really enjoyed that. But that would have been quite interesting to have James Cameron do the Spider-Man movies, right?
Do you know what the James Cameron aspect isn't even the most interesting for me? I think the most interesting part of that is having Edward Furlong and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, that would be interesting, right?
Yeah, it would have been. And I think that would have been one of those situations where if Leo DiCaprio had done an excellent performance, there's no way that Furlong would have been nominated for Best Actor, but there's a 100% chance that DiCaprio could have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Because you don't always get that. If you watch the Oscars, you'll get a film that it doesn't get a Best Actor nomination, but it'll get a Best Supporting Actor nomination because of the outstanding performance by the second billed character. And
yeah,
I don't know. I think there's a lot of kind of different nuances to how the Oscars work, and it's something that we'll never understand. But if you think, even something like, have you ever seen Glenn Ross?
No.
This is a film, bear with me a second, this is a film about estate agents in America trying to sell. Now, a lot of big actors in this film, you've got Al Pacino, Jack Lemmon, and Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin is only in the film for about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was nominated because his performance just destroyed everyone else in this film. Mm-hmm. Alec Baldwin is actually excellent in so many things, and I don't think he gets the recognition that he deserves these days, because he is actually, even if you look at him in the Departed, brilliant in The Departed.
Mm-hmm. Departed's a hell of a movie.
Departed's fantastic. Do you know Departed's actually a remake?
Yeah.
It's a remake of a Hong Kong action film, or a Hong Kong thriller called Infernal Affairs with Chow Yun-Fat. I'm sure it's Chow Yun-Fat.
That's a hilarious name.
I'm sure it's Chow Yun-Fat. I could 100% see that as being a highly successful film. But even without James Cameron, even with Sam Raimi, DiCaprio, and Furlong, that could have been really interesting.
Yeah, I would have liked that. So we move now to our penultimate.
Can I jump in with mine for a second?
Aye, go for it.
Yeah, this is just a kind of more like a comedy incidental one. Right, now, I remember seeing this on IMDb a few years ago and thinking, surely not. Surely these people weren't considered for this role.
Mm-hmm.
I just tried to find it on IMDb and it's been deleted, so I'm thinking it's probably bullshit and they just didn't realise at the time. But this is the actors who were considered to play Ivan Drago.
Wow.
Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to say yes or no to each name.
Right, okay.
And if you don't know who the person is, tell me and I'll tell you who they are.
Okay, let's go for it. I like a wee game.
Okay. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That would make sense.
Vernon Wells.
And this guy is who?
Your dad. No, Vernon Wells played Bennett in Commando.
All right. Yeah, that would make sense.
Brian Thompson.
Remind me again.
Big guy that looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger that was the big bad guy in Cobra.
Right. Nah.
He was in AWOL as well.
Pass on him.
Here we go. Patrick Swayze.
I could see it, but nah. I'll say nah, but I don't know. I think he could have pulled it out of the bag, maybe.
Kurt Russell.
Nah, he's too much. Like, he wouldn't pull off the Russian thing, I don't think.
This is ridiculous. Peter Weller.
Yeah, pass.
The guy's built like he's built like the Gable India crisp. Michael Biehn.
Yeah, I could have seen that, but he'd need to bulk up a little.
David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, we're going to pass on that one.
Tom Selleck.
Yeah, I could see that.
JCVD.
That would make sense.
Johnny Depp.
No. Nah.
I'm going to skip a few names here. Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen.
Because after he punches out Apollo Creed, he's like, if he dies, he dies, because I'm winning.
What makes you think you can beat Rocky? Tiger blood. Brad Pitt, Mel Gibson, Jesse Ventura.
Brad Pitt can go off.
Brad Pitt in 1985?
Not 85, maybe.
Brad Pitt was even a thing in 1985. This is where it just gets to be bullshit, but it's still funny to think about it. Tom Wilson.
Remind me.
Biff.
No. Hello, Apollo Creed. Hello.
Anybody home? Oh, how funny would that have been, though? Like, if he just went up to him when Apollo Creed was decked out and just started chapping on his dome. Hello? Anybody home? Think, Apollo, think. Val Kilmer.
Yeah, I could see that.
Sean Bean. Again, these people weren't even... Oh, come on. Tom fucking Cruise. How much would you need to piss about with camera angles to make Tom Cruise look bigger than Sylvester Stallone?
And Jean-Claude Van Damme. We filmed him. He's tiny.
Yeah, it's very small. John Travolta, Alec Baldwin.
Travolta, not at that point in his career. Alec Baldwin, not at that point in his career.
Here's an interesting one. Sonny Landham.
Remind me again.
He played Billy in Predator.
That guy. I will go for that.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to skip a few ridiculous ones. Kane Hodder.
Kane Hodder. Nah, because I've met Kane Hodder, and he's smaller than me, and he's not that menacing without the Jason mask.
Keanu Reeves.
Not at that point. Not at that point in his career. Even as John Wick, I still love him.
He's like, yeah. If he dies, he dies.
Totally awesome.
It's like, do you know you've just killed Apollo Creed? And he goes. Fucking hell. Eric Stoltz. This is horrendous.
They'd have to refilm it.
Liam Neeson. Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper would have been shit hot, mate.
That's interesting. Roddy Piper. But yeah, that's why this has been removed from IMDb, because that is the biggest pile of shit I think I've ever read in my life. There's no way any of these people were ever considered. I do know that, according to IMDb, and it's still on there, so it's more likely to be true, around 8,000 people auditioned for Ivan Drago.
Wow.
That's a lot.
And Stallone probably had it in his head that he was using Dolph Lundgren anyway.
Probably. Yeah. So there you go, there's my wee comedy interlude for you.
Brilliant. So we're going to move on to DC. This is just one that you'd probably enjoy, this one, actually, because it's not Marvel, and this was at a time when superhero movies were not overdone. So originally, it was Tim Burton done the first two, and then Joel Schumacher took over for the final two, right? But I think Tim and Joel on the second one, they collaborated, and then Joel took it himself. Anyway, right? So
any road.
So originally, and it's rumored, but it's also it's been joked about that instead of Michael Keaton, Bill Murray was approached to play the Batman. He didn't, and any time that he didn't play the Batman, right? But any time that he's asked about it in media, he always just laughs and makes a joke. And you know, one of the things he said about it was, "Hey, wouldn't I have played a great Batman?" Terrible impression, but that's what he said.
No.
I just don't see it either, right?
Just no. There's. Is that real?
It's rumored, and Bill Murray's never confirmed nor denied. He just jokes about it every time it's brought up. Now let's look at it. When was the original Batman?
1988.
88. Right. So you're a fan. Right. So yes. 88. Right. The original Batman, and at around 88, that was before Groundhog Day. Right. What was it? When was Ghostbusters?
Ghostbusters was 84, and I think Groundhog Day was either 91 or 93.
I think it was 93. Right, so you're picturing young Bill Murray. Nah, I'm not seeing Batman, but then
Bill Murray's like Christopher Lloyd. He was never young. Yeah. I think he literally came out and was like, cats and dogs living together! You know, and same as like Stallone. What's his name? Doc Brown, yeah. Christopher Lloyd. He was probably coming out going, "Where's your fox capacitor?" Some people are just eternally old.
Yeah.
But no, I could never see Bill Murray playing Batman. But if you'd asked me in 1987, mm-hmm. do you think Michael Keaton could be Batman? I'd be like, I don't know, probably no.
yeah. I suppose that's what I was thinking when initially I read that. I was like, right, well. How do we know he could never do it? You always say that. Well, let's look at this, actually. The latest Batman to be announced to take on the Batman role is actually Robert Pattinson.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now. Fair enough. Everybody remembers him from Twilight. Cedric Diggory from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of thought he was a bit very, very stale and just one dimension. But then I watched something recently called The King on Netflix. Have you seen The King?
Yeah, I haven't yet, but I know that he's playing the French king.
Bad, isn't right? He? No, he's the
king's French son. General or something. Oh, right, okay, a prince.
Yeah, a prince, right. So, but he'll speak of Lexius, right? And he's got long hair, and this is the first time, and this is one of the reasons I was really happy about it. And shout out to Amy Parkinson of Monopoly Events and Backstage Access, because she actually recommended the movie, and I took her word for it, and I was not disappointed. She recommended that, and I went and watched it, and it's the first time I saw Robert Pattinson play a character that intrigued me. And I've forever said on this podcast, bad guys should be bad guys. If you're going to play a bad guy, do bad shit, otherwise we just don't care, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A story needs a great bad guy in order to create the good guy, and it absolutely bloody well done that, because he played a really good bad guy, fucking really good bad guy.
I might watch it when we're finished here.
Do it, man, because he's the kind of bad guy that has no remorse for what he does, as long as it pisses off the opposition. And you can see that there's just something. He's one of those kids that, you know, took a cat home in his school bag. Obviously not in those days, but if it was set in modern days, he's definitely the kind of kid that cuts up animals in his room, and his dad just kind of goes, he's just a bit weird. And I thought, well done, Robert Pattinson. So after seeing his role in that movie and seeing how different he can be from what we've seen before, I will totally 100% get behind him playing the new Batman. I will support that, because I've seen something different from him.
Well, like, everybody laughed when Heath Ledger was announced to play the Joker.
Right.
You've seen how that went. And like, going back to Batman for a second, like, I've always maintained that Michael Keaton's the best Batman, but the more I'm going on...
Incorrect.
Let me finish!
Finish.
My point is that I think a lot of what you think about certain actors playing certain characters is it completely depends on your generation and what you grew up with. Because looking at it objectively now, as somebody who does a podcast about films, I have to say that 100% the best Batman so far has been Christian Bale. there's no doubt about that. The films were far superior, more realistic.
Yeah, I would agree.
Much better made. I mean, but for me, the whole Michael Keaton's the best Batman, it's just because that's the first one I've seen.
Yeah, for a lot of people, it's the same.
And I'm not saying he was bad. For me, I think the rankings of Batman or Batman goes up until this point, because we don't know what Pattinson's going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it goes Bale, Keaton, Kilmer, Clooney, Affleck.
Affleck was a great Batman.
It could be because the films were so bad. I don't know.
No, I think it's because he actually came to...
And saying that,
he brings Batman, a presence.
Batman and Robin was fucking terrible. No, you know what it was? I think Clooney was a really good Bruce Wayne, but mm-hmm. a terrible Batman. I think there's a bit of mixing and matching to go on. Whereas I think Ben Affleck, he just, I don't know. I think he kind of, like, the physical side of it aside, because he'd done a really good job with the physical side and bulking up and learning how to do proper, like, pretty brutal action scenes, actually, by memory. Some of the Batman fight scenes, one in particular I remember from, I think it was Batman versus Superman. Probably the first Batman appearance, I think. It was like him and a bunch of baddies coming at him, and he was breaking guys' necks into the floor and everything. It was really impressive. I don't know. I think I might need to revisit that list. There's a lot of factors that come into play. And I think it's too easy just to go, oh, Bale, Keaton, blah, blah, blah. I think there's more to be looked at. There's something we could do for an episode.
That's exactly what I was about to say. I was like, there's an episode right there. We are going to rank the best Batman, and we're going to get the Jibber Jabber community to get behind us and give us their thoughts on that. So look out for that, guys, because that will be coming soon. Ranking the Batman. Where do they fit? And by the way, just on a side note, right, I've not seen the new Joker, but 1,000,000,000% Heath Ledger's Joker was far, far better than Jack Nicholson's. I don't care what anybody says. Just because he done it first doesn't mean there's no way that Heath Ledger could beat. Sorry, but
yeah,
Heath Ledger fucking knocked that out of the park.
The one thing you could argue is that both of them did very different things in very good ways,
mm-hmm.
but from a technical standpoint on acting, mm-hmm. Heath Ledger fucking blew out of the water.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you just get everybody, it was not as good as the original Jack Nicholson. Fucking shut up. Fucking shut up. Yeah, so now we get to our final, right, which has been stated by the actor himself, right? But originally, Will Smith was approached to play Neo in The Matrix, again, on my wall of Mount Rushmore.
Yep.
I take it you already know about this?
Yeah, it's been on social media, it's been quite prominent on social media recently about that. To be honest, at that point, I think anybody could have played Neo. It wasn't a role that required a high amount of acting skill. Which by that point, even Keanu Reeves still wasn't great. Do you know what? There's been very few things where Keanu Reeves has actually been good as an actor, or even if he has been good, there's been moments in the film that make you go, "Oh Jesus, what have you just done to that scene?" Now, the one example I'm thinking of here is The Devil's Advocate, which is one of my favorite films of all time. Keanu Reeves, for the most part in that film, is actually excellent, but there's a few scenes where he just hams the fuck out of it, and it totally undermines everything that he's done for the rest of the film. Like, there's moments in that where his acting is to the standard of somebody like Pacino, who's in it with him. He's up there, like, he's really good. But then at other moments, it goes to that, what was it called, Knock Knock kind of standard.
Oh man,
mate, there's moments in the film where he goes to that standard of acting, and that's the frustrating thing about him, because you know he's got the potential to be an excellent actor, but then sometimes it's like he just forgets to do his homework. And he just he phones it in. And I think it's the one thing that keeps letting him down. The one saving grace he's had in the last kind of few years has been the John Wick series, which is endlessly entertaining. And he's good in it, but the only reason he's so good in it is because the character itself is so underplayed. He's a quiet character. He doesn't really have to do much apart from the physical side of it, which takes a lot of learning, a lot of time, a lot of training. That's fine. But acting-wise, as John Wick, does he really have to do much?
Well,
acting to act in pain. Just hold your ribs and act like you're in pain, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. I love Keanu Reeves. His films are great, but how did I even get onto this? I might need to rewind this and see what the original question was.
It wasn't a question. I was just basically saying that Will Smith initially was approached to play Neo, and the reason he turned it down is because he had just come off the back of Independence Day and didn't want to be known as the alien guy, the space guy,
the sci-fi action guy.
Yeah. So for that, he says you're welcome, because had he played Neo, you would have had Val Kilmer as Morpheus, because they were only wanting one black role within the main cast.
That's racist.
Well, that's what he said. This is a quote. This is not me. But he's sort of pointing fingers, right? He says they initially, aside from what's her name, Ghost. No, Niobe. Ghost is the guy. Niobe. She's also black. There isn't a lot of, I suppose, black characters in it, but I don't know why that's even relevant. But Will Smith said, had he taken the role, Val Kilmer was going to be Morpheus. But when they gave the role to Keanu Reeves, Morpheus then became black, which you got Lawrence Fishburne. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, you know, say what you will about Keanu Reeves, but Lawrence Fishburne.
I don't think the film would have suffered in either case. Mm-hmm. I really don't. The film was so well written and so well directed and so well photographed that they literally could have had anybody in those roles. As long as those people were physically able to do the roles, I don't think they really could have went wrong. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I don't want to talk about Keanu Reeves acting again. Let's talk about Val Kilmer for a second. Like, mm-hmm. Val Kilmer is really good at playing kind of reserved, kind of low-key, but prominent, like, it can be quite imposing. Like, if you look at him in, what was that film? He did a film called, oh God, he played like a speed freak in it. Tattoos all over his back. I cannot remember, but he was brilliant in it. He was brilliant, and he can be quite physically imposing if he bulks up a bit. And I think he could have easily played Morpheus. With regards to Will Smith playing Neo, he probably would have done a better job than Keanu Reeves.
Wait a minute, playing who?
Will Smith playing Neo.
Neil?
Neo.
Neil. That's like, what?
So how funny would that be if his name was Neil with an
Neil.
L?
Neil. See, from now on we have to just call him Neil.
But that's a Scottish accent. It does that. It turns L's into O's. Especially on the West Coast. So I don't think the film would suffer either way. I think that Keanu Reeves' career would have suffered. If he hadn't done that film, I think he'd probably be nowhere now. And Will Smith might actually be in a better position now if he'd done that. It's been a long time since Will Smith done anything that's actually been good. And then when I seen a trailer for that Gemini Man, I thought, whoa, this could be really good or epically, epically shit. Yeah. And the problem, and everything I've seen about that film was saying, got to see it in 3D. You have to see this in 3D. And to me, that just screamed, all right, so it's a nice painting with no substance. And as soon as they say you have to see this film in 3D, I just go, well, fuck it, I'm not seeing it at all. I'm not interested. If you need to see a film in 3D, it's just because it's visually stunning. If you don't give me a good storyline, good acting, and a good screenplay, you can get the fuck out of my house.
Well, that's that gone then.
So what do you think? What do you think about it?
Will Smith playing Neo, I think it would have worked. Will Smith's got, obviously, the potential to do it. He's a really deep actor as well as he could do the... You know, he's in Men in Black. He can do it. I just think
he was in what?
Men in Black.
What's that?
Men in Black.
Men in Black.
You've never seen Men in Black?
What is it?
What?
What is it?
What's Men in Black?
Oh.
It's a couple of guys with black shade, black ties, and black attitude.
Black attitude.
Aye, that's in the song for the second one.
Let me see you nod your head like this. Let me see.
Fuck off. You've never seen Men in Black. Nah, sorry,
I was trying to Mandela affect you there for a second.
Nah, you're barking up the wrong shit there, mate.
What? you're barking up the wrong shit.
I was going to say bang up the wrong tree there, but I thought, nah, fuck it, shit. You know me, I have to make something up every episode, right?
That's funny. I thought you were doubting me for a second. I could see it in your smile.
Nah, I just was like, nah, this guy ain't for real. So there we go. That concludes our, episode of what could have been had
that was really
Hollywood
fun.
Went the other way. Sorry?
Sorry, man, that was really good fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. So, yeah, get back to your outro.
that's us done, right? So that's this episode pretty much concluded. So we hope you've enjoyed it. We've enjoyed it. We always enjoy it. And, another episode has literally been born from this one. We will rank the Batman. Rank the Batman in a couple of weeks. But we've got more stuff coming up. Stuff to announce, stuff to show you guys, stuff for you guys to hear, which we cannot wait. Thank you to our sponsor, which is Truffle Shuffle. Make sure you go to truffleshuffle.com and go ahead and buy your tickets to stuff.
Christmas is coming up, people. Truffleshuffle.com is the ideal website to get your movie merchandise from. They've got everything from t-shirts to jumpers to mugs to everything. Everything you could possibly want out of a movie merchandise site, this is what they've got, and they do focus on the nostalgic. It's scary to think that the 90s is nostalgic now, but let's face it, we're all getting fucking old. Yes. But get on truffleshuffle.com, use our JibJab15 discount code for 15% off any purchase over £20, and enjoy whatever you get through the post. Whatever you order, send us a picture. We want to see what you buy. We might buy it as well.
Absolutely. And you'll also get yourself a wee ukulele song written about you right here on the Jibber Jabber podcast. And before we go, guys, anyone local in Scotland would like to come to Bathgate Cinema on the 7th of December, because we are screening Gremlins on its 35th anniversary.
It's 35th. I'm going to have my 35th anniversary 4 days before it. So it's double special for me.
It's going to be something else. So make sure you go to truffleshuffle.com and maybe buy yourself a couple Gremlins Christmas, jumpers. Show up. You can drink at the bar with us. It's going to be a blast. The screening is for 7:30. So it is an evening slot for the first time with the Jibber Jabber podcast takeover. But we'll talk more about that on our next episode. That's not the episode because it's not related. But we'll still plug it, right? We'll still plug it. So I have been Kevin Wells. He has been
J. McEtran.
And we are the Jibber Jabber Podcast. Please like, subscribe, and share, and tell your friends. Like us. Keep watching our stuff. Head to YouTube, Jibber Jabber Podcast. Head to Twitter, Jibber Jabber Podcast. Head to Facebook, Jibber Jabber Podcast, Jibber Jabber Community. We're fucking Jibber Jabber doing nuts. You should be too. All right? Until I start speaking to you.
Try not to kill anybody. Goodbye.
I'm back. I play Pokemon Go every day. I play Pokemon Go. I play Pokemon Go every day. I play Pokemon Go. When I wake up, I'm grabbing my phone. I wanna catch everyone.